seat just saying, God, do you want me to say anything? Yes, sir.
And I've taken God's word and I've used it at my choice. I've got the recipe and I've at times put it on the shelf.
Sir.
I said, God, I've been eating now. And I feed that fast food and it touches.
No, sir.
And God showed me now. I need to give back to God's recipe. And God's helping me now. I just want to pray for
you. Amen. God has helped me as well. Amen. I'm going to read my text. I'm going to give you a couple thoughts. I'm not going to be probably 15 minutes tonight. I'm just going to, Brother Colwell, I'm just going to give with all my heart. I'm going to give the overall gist of what I believe God wants me to say tonight. And I'm going to be done. I'm not going to get in the way of the Holy Ghost and what He's done and doing already. I just want to mind Him tonight. I understand a little bit now, though. I told the preacher before the service, I said, I'm wrestling with God tonight. And I know where that always ends up. I know. I always lose. I know that. But he put this thought on my heart. And I said, preacher, I really don't know why God put this thought on my heart. I don't understand it. I don't want to preach this. I had a different direction in mind. Probably every preacher's been there at some point. And I'm going to mind the Lord, but it makes a little more sense now. Brother Cox, and I'm not saying this to be funny or anything else, Brother Cox preached what I have here tonight in passing. He preached my thought that I wanted to close with tomorrow night in passing. I'm not going to change that unless the Lord changes that. I'm going to continue to follow God. And we're just going to keep beating that thing and getting that truth across to our hearts. And begging the Holy Ghost of God to cause us to weep again. Yes, take your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter number 4. I want to give you a simple thought on the heartbeat of God tonight. From cover to cover in this Bible, the theme is Jesus Christ and redemption through His blood. It's soul winning. It's the gospel message. Cover to cover, that's what you find. Adam and Eve sinned, there had to be bloodshed. A picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we find it all the way through. And I just want to challenge your hearts just a little bit. And I'm going to be done here tonight. I'm not going to give you any fancy illustrations. I'm just going to give you my heart tonight. And we're going to shut up and pray, be done, and let God do what He wants to continue to do in our midst. You're in John chapter 4. Look at verse 35. We're in the middle here of the story. Account of Scripture here of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, if the Lord allows and doesn't change my direction. I'll be preaching on that tomorrow night. But in the middle of this, we come down to verse number 34, and I like this. I'm not using this verse tonight, but I'm going to start at verse 34. Look what the Bible says there. They came back and offered Jesus some food and things of that nature, and I like what He said. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He had said previously, I have meat to eat that you know not of. In other words, He was wrapped up in winning this woman to Christ, amen, winning this woman to Himself. That was what His priority is. And I like what the brother just testified here a moment ago. We're more concerned about our physical food than we are winning people to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Would to God that God would give us that burden for that kind of meat. That spiritual meat, that winning souls kind of meat, amen? Rather than that fast food meat that he just mentioned a moment ago. And the Bible goes on now in verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor upon other, ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Father, you know my heart tonight. Would you please help me? I don't want to be long. I don't want to belabor, but God, help me to get my point across, and God, use it as you see fit. You're the one who's directed me here tonight. I know that. I yield myself to you, and God, just pray that you'd have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I believe we see the heartbeat of God here in verse number 35. That's what we're going to look at. And I want you to notice, first of all here, that in verse number 35, that first statement there in the first half of verse number 35, we oftentimes read that as a statement. It's not a statement. It's a question that Jesus asked. There's a question mark in there, and it's a question. So it would be phrased something like this. Jesus would have said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. It would have been phrased something like that, rather than, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. That would have been a statement like that. But he asked it in that question form. He said, listen, don't you all say that there's 4 months, and then comes harvest? Is that not what you're saying? And so the question was asked there, and then he answers his own question. Amen. He said, behold, I say unto you, Jesus speaking the Word of God, amen. He said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. They're white, all ready to harvest. I want to give you three things very quickly about this verse, and I'm going to be done. Number one, Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. You see it there? He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. The fact that he told the disciples here to lift up his eyes implies that they were not looking in the right direction. It implies they were looking at something else. It implies they were not looking where they needed to be looking. Amen. And so, the fact of the matter is, it's awful hard to follow the heartbeat of God, the path of the heartbeat of God, if we don't have our eyes looking in the right direction. He was looking, they were looking somewhere they ought not. Maybe it was at self. Maybe it was at the world. Maybe it was at amusements. Maybe it was at desires. Maybe it was at their dreams. I don't know what it was. But Jesus said, listen, don't you say there's 4 months and then cometh harvest? And he said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Get them off whatever you got them on that's hindering you from seeing what I'm trying to show you. Get your eyes off of that and lift your eyes. It also implies that they were looking down. Lift up your eyes. Let me tell you something. When I'm looking down like this, let me tell you what I mainly see. Me. When I'm looking down like this, I see some things out of my peripheral vision, but the majority of what I see is me. And I'm not going to park here for a while, and I could park here for a long time. But I believe this little implication, this statement that implies that they were looking down right here, is a great majority of the problem and why we don't have soul winners today. Not only are we not looking up where we're supposed to look in a direction, we're consumed with us. We're consumed with us. We're looking at me. What about me? What do I got going today? What do I want to accomplish today? What do I this? What do I that? All right, I'm sitting down at the restaurant, like Brother Hatch and Neil Stride. I'm sitting down at the restaurant. I'm fixing to get me something to eat, and I'm fixing to leave. And I got this to do after that, and then I got this. I got some visits to make here. I've got this to do. I've got message preparation to do. That's what I'm looking down. This is what I'm doing. Listen, all that stuff is not bad stuff. That's all stuff that's got to get done. But if I'm looking down like this and that's all I'm seeing, I'm missing what Jesus has me here to see. I'm missing it. You're missing it. It implies they were looking in the wrong direction. It implies they were looking down and they were looking at themselves. Oh, God help us. We get so wrapped up in self. Not only are we not soul winners, but we don't give to missions like we ought to. Well, God, I got this financially. God said, just trust me. I own it all. If you'll trust me, I'll give through you what I won't necessarily give to you if you'll trust me. Amen. I thought about Jesus. He said, lift up your eyes. They were focused on self. Lift up your eyes. Jesus, our perfect example, is He not? You ever think about the fact that everything Jesus did was for others? He left the splendors of heaven, preacher, for others. He was born of a virgin for others. He took on a body like unto sinful flesh for others. He identified with us for others. He lived a perfect life for others. He was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin for others. He faced temptation for others. He was wrongly accused for others. He was apprehended wrongly for others. He was beaten beyond human recognition for others. He was hung on that old rugged cross for others. He was pierced in His side for others. He was put in that borrowed tomb for others. He rose again 3 days later for others. He manifested Himself alive and well after His resurrection for others. He's ascended up on the right hand of God the Father for others. He's now making intercession today for others. Everything our Savior ever did on our behalf, everything He did and gave us an example in the Word of God, my friend, was for others. And here we are. Let that sink in. Let that sink in tonight. He said, look, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Secondly, He said, look on the fields. Lift up your eyes, He said, and look on the fields. When our eyes are lifted up and off of ourselves, it's then that we can see what Jesus wants us to see. And those fields obviously are representative tonight of those harvest fields. Amen. Those harvest fields of souls. That is the heartbeat of God is those souls. That's the reason He gave heaven's best and His darling Son, Jesus Christ, was for souls. That's the reason that He did it. And friend, we won't see it unless we have the right focus. The right focus. And the way you and I are going to have the right focus is what I've already preached on quite a bit this week since Sunday. And that's having the right walk with God. And having that right purpose we talked about. And preacher, use that word tonight getting that burden. Getting that burden. Listen, we talked last night about being desirous of more God and determined more God and dedicated to more God. And we'll simply apply that to exactly what He said tonight. It fits right in there as well. And listen, we have got to be focused on that which God wants us focused on, and we can't do it when we're looking down. He said, lift up your eyes, and when you lift up your eyes, here's what I want you to look at. I want you to look at the harvest field. That's what He said. That's what He said. The truth was, He was simply trying to tell them, get their eyes off themselves and get them on what I want you to get them on. Get your eyes off yourself, your goals, your dreams, everything else. I don't remember what great preacher it was in the past that said, bury your dreams at the feet of Jesus and let Him resurrect them. Amen? Amen? Whatever you want, just bury Him at the feet of Jesus. Let Him resurrect what He wants in your life. The harvest of souls is the heartbeat of God. Amen. The Great Commission listed all five, the first five books of the New Testament. Preacher mentioned every one of them just a moment ago. Matthew 28. It's there. Go ye therefore. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world. Over there in Luke 24. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. John 20:21, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And by the way, I'll just park right there for a minute. Let me just say this. The reason you have the Holy Ghost of God is to be a witness. He said, stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. I don't want you to do anything until you get the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. And then you'll have the power to do what I'm at. You can't do it in the flesh. Maybe that's why we don't see as many people saved today. Maybe that's part of the problem. We're going in the flesh. The fullness of the Holy Ghost of God is the power God gave us to win people to Christ. Maybe it's not that they're just so much harder today than they used to be. Maybe it's because we're just a whole lot more fleshly today than we used to be as Christians. Just saying, maybe it is. Third thing, and I'm done. I'm not going to get into all this. Number three, not only did he say, lift up our eyes and look on the fields, but we've got to realize that the lost are there. For they are white, those fields are already to harvest. White, already to harvest. You ever wonder about that? White, already to harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. I think combines are cool. I've got a farmer in my church in a little rural town where I pastor now. I got a farmer in my church, and he's let me ride in that combine a couple of years. That's been pretty cool. Picking beans, cutting beans, whatever they call it, I don't know. Picking that corn, hey man, that's awesome. That's just cool stuff. But Brother Caldwell, a year before you came to be my assistant pastor in Muskegon, we had a missions conference. A missionary from Ontario was going back to the greater Toronto area as a missionary. His name was Brian Johnston. And during that missions conference, he made a statement. He has some background in this up in Canada there, Ontario, being some type of grain farmer of some sort or another. But this has stuck with me. This is what he said. He explained that when a grain field is white, it is actually past harvest time. But it's still good grain if we get it quickly. Now let that sink in the application here. It makes the verse mean so much more. For they are white already to harvest. The harvest is past due, church. That's what he's trying to say. Jesus said it then. How much further past due is it now? Listen, I don't know when the trumpet of God's going to sound. I don't know when the eastern sky's going to part. I believe it's soon. I believe it could be at any moment. But the fact of the matter is this. There are souls out there in that harvest field. He said we need to lift our eyes up, get them off of ourselves. We need to get looking in the right direction. And we need to recognize that there is a harvest to be had that's actually past harvest, but it's still good if we can get it quickly.
Yes, sir.
There's an urgency.
Yes, sir.
There's an urgency in his statement.
Yes.
God help us to be urgent. God help us to be urgent while that field is still white. I didn't ask him the question where it goes after from white. But all I know, Jesus said it's white already to harvest.
Amen.
And we can still get it if we hurry. We still get it if we hurry. Three simple things I want to give you tonight. I know it's not deep. I know it's not profound, but it is Bible.
Amen.
He said, look, lift up your eyes. Get them off yourself, church. Look on the fields. We've got to get focused in the right direction. And then we've got to realize the lost are there. There, that harvest field that's white already to harvest. And friend, we just need to leap into that harvest. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach tonight. God, what You did in my heart through the man of God's message just a little while ago, I want to thank You.